This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. When news broke back in March that the live events and publishing firm Questex had bought the assets of Digital Signage Expo, there was, understandably, a lot of interest and speculation about whether that might mean the defunct trade show and conference would be revived. It will be, likely around the same time frame as the past and back in Las Vegas. It is also likely it will have the same name, though it might just be called DSE. What's also clear is that it will not be a simple reboot of the old show, which makes perfect sense. Since the Digital Signage Expo that ran for 15 plus years would politely be described as spinning its wheels, with attendance flatlined and exhibitor count shrinking. I contacted Questex when news first broke of the DSE assets being acquired at auction, and I've had a few conversations since then with the company, including a CEO, Paul Miller. I wasn't sure how much he could tell me, but we had a terrific, very open chat last week about what went down and his company's thinking around a new and different DSE in 2022. Well, thank you for joining me. Who is Questex?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me, first and foremost. Who is Questex? Questex is a media and information services business that produces events alongside its media sites. We have been in existence as a company for about 15 years, just over. We are a company that focuses on really five or six markets. That is the life sciences and healthcare markets, the technology market, and then we also focus in the areas of travel, hospitality, and wellness. And all of that is wrapped up around a focus on the experience economy. So that's who we are. And we do events, we do media websites, we do all kinds of connecting of buyers and sellers in those areas.
So of those properties that you have in the context of the pro AV world, people who are listening to this most likely know.
Probably know
LDI or the bar nightclub show.
Yeah, they would probably know our nightclub and bar show in Las Vegas, mainly because that would have been in history. Some cases would collaborate with DSE, and in some cases would just sit alongside. So they would know that. They probably would know the lighting dimension show, the LDI show that you mentioned. So that's also one that is quite well known in this space, I would say. Outside of that, there are events that we have that I think are relevant in the hotel area, in the spa area, in the gym area, where we're connecting owners of hotels and operators of hotels and gyms and spas with various people that want to sell into those spaces. So, of course, digital signage is a huge area mm-hmm. for all of those end users. So they may not know those, but certainly I think they're areas that we think are very relevant.
And we'll get into acquiring the assets of DSE, but I was curious when that happened. I looked up Questex to kind of see who they are and how they work. And I get a sense that your typical approach is you have a publishing sort of wing as a foundational thing that kind of sets the content for that particular vertical market. And then you grow and market the live event off of that. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment, Dave. We believe that we should be engaged with communities 365 through the year, because people don't always wait for an event before they make their decisions. So we want to help them through their buying process through content that attracts them to our websites. As they interact with that content, we like to sort of use that data to produce what we would consider a very relevant show. So when you come to the show, it's content that's been popular throughout the year. probably speakers that have been writing content that you can come and meet live. So we see a sort of a full connection between how people in the B2B world kind of look for content, how they go through that buying process. And the event is part of that. In many cases, it's an exciting part of it because people come to actually buy. Some cases they come to network, some cases they come to get educated, and in some cases all three. So that idea that you would just do an event and then kind of see you next year is not really in our DNA. We're more in that sort of, hey, we want to serve you throughout the year and would love to see you live at the event if relevant.
Right. And I also get a sense that the events look different depending on the vertical. So you don't necessarily do a full trade show with exhibits for a certain vertical because it really doesn't fit, whereas other verticals it may.
That actually, it's a really astute comment. I think sometimes in our world, we this is not the digital signage world. This is our world at Questex. We sometimes talk about events a little bit like somebody saying I'm going on vacation to Africa, and your first question is well which country are you going to, because that you know you're going to have a different experience.
Yes.
Depending on where you're going. So in our
you mean
case,
it's not all the same.
No, well, to my knowledge, no. I've not been to all other countries, so I won't profess to be an expert. But yeah, in the events world, there are various flavors. You know, in some events, it truly is what sort of a cash and carry. You bring in your goods, you set up your stall, and people come in and they buy your goods. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I by the way, I do not think that applies to digital signage, mm-hmm. Certainly on the whole. But that there is a flavor of event that we do. That sort of emulates that is very much a you come in to buy stuff and the exhibitors are there to sell stuff and success is how much did I sell, frankly. Then there are the more sort of educational type events which sort of surround large conferences. I think you'd be familiar with these, you know, great speakers, good education, and some really good networking off-piste at the hotel bar afterwards, etc. And then you can get into some really specific events, which are matchmaking buyers with sellers. This particular buyer is looking for this solution, right, and we're going to put you in a room with this seller. They tend to be more intimate, sort of very VIP. In some cases, we will host those buyers. So we tend to be, and I think your comment is right on, we tend to sort of look for what fits what element of the market at the right time. I think where it gets exciting, Dave, and this probably leads us into sort of our thoughts around the Digital Signage Expo, is that in many cases, you can do all three. You can have a great conference, you can have a great trade show floor, and you can do great matchmaking. It doesn't work all the time. We have a feeling that it is relevant for DSE from what we've been hearing from the market. But you're absolutely right on the money. We don't really have a one size fits all approach as a company, and I think given the communities we serve, that would be very difficult for us to shoehorn in certain templates, if you will.
Right. So back in I think you said it was April. You acquired the assets of Exponation. What did you actually acquire?
We acquired the assets of the Digital Signage Expo, which would have included the trademarks, the websites, the database, the customer database. I think that was about it. A few other URLs that sort of websites that sort of surrounded the industry a little bit. But everything that Exponation had that was DSE related is what we acquired.
Right. And how did that happen? Is there some, like a broker who comes to you and says, hey, we have this, or do you have people who just pay attention to this sort of thing?
No, it was strange, to be honest. The last year has been strange in many ways.
Yes.
So we were very aware at Questex of DSE. We had, as mentioned at the start, we had seen the show, we had visited the show I wandered over to the show while at our nightclub and bar event, and
just to sober up.
Yeah, actually, just to sort of see what it's like on at a B2B show that isn't serving alcohol, which is a different feel. And actually, we had been impressed for many years with the show. We certainly didn't really know the under stories and what was really going on. But from a very sort of shallow view, I would say the show looked very professional. There were great companies there, good buzz, and we always sort of said to each other, "Wow, that looks like a great event." And that was about it. Just for the record, that was about it. Then I forget the actual timing, but sometime in the fall of last year, we obviously saw the story that Exponation had filed for Chapter 7. And that sort of alerted us to, wow, that like a lot of us that are in the events business, the pandemic has been devastating. So we it wasn't that it was a surprise, but to be honest, as having that sort of very narrow and shallow knowledge of the show, we were like, wow, that's a shame. That was a good looking event, and you know, we're probably going to see more of this, was kind of our initial reaction. Then what happened, Dave, is that we got a notice from, I think it's the bankruptcy court, actually. I can't fully remember who it was. But anyway, we got a notice that the assets were going to be auctioned to help raise funds, I guess, for those people, that the debtors that were owed money, if you will. So we said, okay, we like these assets, and we do think that we've got some things that we could bring to the event. This was before we knew, by the way, that might be relevant. So we entered into an auction process, and it was the first time in my career that I've ever been through such a process, and it truly was, you know, a person on the phone, you know, or basically banging the gavel and saying, "Yep, sold to the people at the back," and that ended up being us. So that's how we acquired the assets. Little bit of knowledge. We obviously then did a lot of homework before we went into the auction. So we sort of got our hands around a little bit. What was the size of the show? What was the target audience for the show? What do we think we could bring to the show? And it checked a lot of boxes for us. So yeah, we went into the auction seriously, and yeah, we won that auction. And then, of course, you find out what actually have we acquired. And that was a sort of a fascinating sort of few weeks of research.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
I've spoken with you in the past. I've spoken with someone else from your company, and a consultant, Brad Gleason, who you've engaged to help out with this. I'm curious, as you've done your kind of due diligence and exploration of the industry, what have you been hearing about the industry, your impressions on that, but also, you know, we can kind of go from there into what are you going to do?
Sure. Yeah. So firstly, I have to say, and I think you know this, there wasn't a lot of ho-hum type of commentary in the research when we went to the industry. People are very passionate about the space, very passionate about this product. Not all of it positive. You know, I think there have been some negative experiences for certain people. But what we did find, Dave, was that this is an industry that is going through terrific growth. And that growth looks to be sustainable, certainly through the next sort of half a decade, if not beyond, in our opinion. So great sort of 7.5% CAGR growth rates, touches a lot of verticals, you know, and I know that people listening and yourself would know this, but this was our learning, you know, touches verticals as diverse as healthcare through to retail, through to hotel, houses of worship, hotels. So that was for us really, really interesting. We also found and heard that, you know, the industry actually wanted a place to gather. They do see this as an industry that has its unique personality. It's not all about one thing or another thing. And there are definitely some trends of that are coming into the sort of digital out of home space, for instance, that in my opinion, sort of are akin to what happened between print and the internet back in the late 90s. You know, a lot of data starts to be kicked off and a lot of back end technology starts to get into play. And digital signage becomes sort of the, if you will, the forefront of that. It's where people first interact. So we got very excited very quickly. I mean, some of the comments, frankly, were, you know, hard to swallow. You know, people saying, hey, look, the event was not what it used to be. It was starting to, you know, lose a little bit of its sort of luster, I guess. I mean, obviously, when the show was cancelled last year, some people were really quite upset about the sort of lack of refund and what went on there. And I fully understand that. I mean, we had to cancel a lot of events last year as well. It was a very tough scenario for everybody. Mm-hmm. But the industry, we felt as we got into it, was it had an opinion. And it was a strong opinion, and people wanted to talk. Actually, we had incoming people calling us saying, I want to talk to you about what you've bought here and let you know what you've got. And actually, Brad was one of those, by the way. Brad said, look, I have a lot of history with this show, and I'd love to help reinvent it along the lines that I feel, and I think what the industry feels it should have been going in anyway. So look, we have the ability to, quote, start again in many ways. I don't think Expo Nation had that ability. They had a product. They had to try to grow that product. We've sort of acquired a set of assets, but we have a real strong ability to listen to the community and try to create a new experience for the community that they're telling us they want. Mm-hmm. And that's unique, yeah. So that was we purposely have been extremely patient. We just said, let's listen, and the more we listen, the more we're finding that the industry wants an event. It wants a place to gather, but it doesn't really want your grandmother's DSE. I think we'd sort of the event had sort of reached its limit, if you will, in terms of value, and people wanted to do something else going forward without losing some of the great things about the event. Seems like it was a fantastic place for the industry to network and meet once a year. Well, we don't want to lose that. That's a super reason for having an event. So, yeah, it's been a real experience. I mean, this is a very odd acquisition from my experience. You know, acquired through auction. Had gone into Chapter 7 through the pandemic, and has a set of stakeholders that really want to have a say. That you know, nobody said sorry, I don't want to talk about it, or you know, I don't really have a comment. I mean, everybody had something to say, and I think that's great. I mean, that shows some passion. It shows some engagement. It's just that not all of the comments were positive, I have to be honest.
Oh, for sure. And I, when we've chatted in the past, I said, I don't think there's enough there to do a trade show with a whole bunch of exhibit stands and everything the way it was done in the past. There's a diminishing number of companies who want to spend those kinds of dollars, and I just didn't see it. Is that what you were hearing more broadly?
Not really. Okay. I get your point. And we actually gave people the ability to say, you know, to tell us what you really want. Now, I will say that the sort of the number one thing that's coming back is that we want to meet people that are going to buy our product.
Yes.
So we want to meet. We don't really want to just get together and talk to each other. It's nice, but it's a very expensive sort of meeting to just talk to other people in the industry. So there's been a lot of questions to us. Like, do you reach people in the hotel industry? Do you reach people in the restaurant space? Do you reach people in other areas where digital signage is needed and can be engaged with? And when we've explained, as I did up top, that these are the markets we're in, people have gone, "Well, holy cow! If you can get those folks to attend an event, we absolutely will bring a booth and we absolutely will exhibit." But you've got to bring buyers. You're not going to get away with us putting up an exhibit and meeting with our competitors across the aisle. That's not enough.
Right. And I know with Xponation, they worked their butts off trying to get brands to show up to a level that they were putting them on advisory boards and things like that, just to kind of make them feel like they should be there.
Yeah. Look, I've been in the event space for sort of 25 years. It is not easy, particularly when, and this is where it sort of comes back to the strategy of Questex, I think, compared with Xponation. I mean, we're a huge believer in content. I think I've said this to you before. Content still is king or queen, but the kingdom is data. You know, once you have people and you've attracted them around content, it's really around understanding what their needs are, what they're looking for, engaging with them. And I think if you're a pure play event company, what you do is you put on an event once a year. You're sort of reliant on a lot of partners to produce that content for you and not in your environment. So you don't get the data as much. And I think that makes it very difficult in complete deference to what Xponation were trying to do. I think they were trying to do the right thing. But when you don't have that daily engagement with the community, it's quite hard to sort of hit it, you know, out of the park on every single thing. You're going to find your content probably gets a bit tired. Sometimes the loudest voice gets to be the speaker as opposed to the one that everybody wants to hear. So, you know, there are certain things that data takes out of the room. It takes that emotion out of the room and it says, look, this audience is engaging with this type of content. That's what they want to see live. That, I think, gives you a little bit more kind of data-driven decision-making around what the industry wants, as opposed to my gut feel or what somebody just told me, you know, at the bar last week at the show.
Mm-hmm. So based on everything you've been hearing, everything your team's been doing, do you have kind of the bones of an idea of what we're going to see?
Yeah, we do. We do. I think that's a good description. Bones. I'm not sure we're fully fleshed out, but I can certainly tell you a few things that we're going to do. So, number one, we are going to relaunch the show. I just want to be clear from the top, we are going to relaunch the show. We do think that the show has to be repositioned somewhat to be, a broader show, bring in those customers, as I mentioned. We're looking at experiences around sort of a broad-based agenda of, you know, life and business amid the reemergence of society and the global economy. So this is more about where does digital signage fit in the quote roaring 20s. So we are looking to bring back the event. We're looking at next spring, and we are looking at Las Vegas. I can't go much further than that at this point in time because we're obviously trying to secure venues and we're trying to secure dates. And that, by the way, is easier said than done in a post-pandemic environment. Everybody wants dates. But we do have our nightclub bar rebranded as our bar and restaurant event in Las Vegas next spring. So, you know, there's the possibility of bringing that together again, if you will. Mm-hmm. We will have an exhibit floor, but also adding things like show floor experiences, very inclusive. Let's demonstrate some applications on the and do some showcases, have some themed presentation stages. So kind of a lot of buzz on the show floor, but at the same time, a really engaging conference program. Lots of curated presentations, you know, tracks based on innovative applications, you know, why do this? What are the outcomes? What you should be looking for? And last but not least, Dave, we are hoping to, have multiple layers of networking at the event. I mean, that's one thing that this audience told us, this community told us, is please don't lose the networking. As I think you know more than I know, great parties, great places for people, for the industry to come together and celebrate, mm-hmm. to learn, to buy, to sell. We're even looking at guides around Las Vegas itself, tours of installations, so people can learn, on from real life applications, not just what somebody might tell you could happen. Well, let's curate some tours, mm-hmm. and we do that, by the way, for our bar and restaurant event. You know, we take people behind the scenes at a nightclub, behind the scenes at a Vegas restaurant. So they can see, everything from point of sale applications through to what's going on in the kitchen and how does the food come out. So we think that's what the community is telling us it wants. More hands-on, more show me what works, more education, more demos, and bring it all together as an event that is an experience beyond just I walk a show floor and I meet a couple of friends at the bar.
Yeah, I've certainly heard many times, and when I did a little survey asking about, where should a trade show go, the comment that stuck in my head was, I know when I go to something like DSC, I'm landing and that's what I'm doing that week or for the next 2-3 days. That's my subject matter versus an ISE or an Infocom, which are great shows, but they're kind of omni shows covering a whole bunch of different vertical industries and technologies and everything else. And mm-hmm. you don't have this aggregate of people who are just there for digital science. You could go to a party and talk to 20 people and they're all doing things that have nothing to do with digital science, but they're in AV.
Yeah, I think both are relevant. A lot of respect for ISE and Infocom and the AVIXA Association in general. I think they do great stuff, by the way. I think there is relevance in attending a show that is broader than just the sort of the industry that you're in. I think that's where you do see adjacencies and ideas that might may be applicable. But what was loud and clear from this community was we want our own place. There's enough going on in the digital signage space for us to need to focus on our industry, our solutions, our ecosystem, for us to want our own place. And that, by the way, was one of the key learnings over the last 8 to 10 weeks of listening to people. There wasn't one person who said, meh, I don't think the industry needs its own place. There are a few people who said, well, can I afford the time to go to all of these events? And I think that's a relevant comment. And mm-hmm. that's all about saying, well, we have to win your respect to get your time. And we have to have a program that you walk away after 2 or 3 days or a week and you go, wow, I'm going to recommend this to my friends because these guys really put something on that it creates a fear of missing out if I'm not there. And I think more importantly than all of that actually creates business interactions. People actually do write orders and they do write RFPs at the event. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's what we're here for at the end of the day. So I think the need for an event that's focused on this particular community is clear. That's actually a box that was checked very clearly. It wasn't a 50-50 decision.
Right. There will be people who listen to this and think, that's great that you're doing a show, but spring in Las Vegas or just spring in general in the trade show industry is very crowded. There's a lot going on and you're kind of putting this in between ISE and Infocom, which are AV shows. There's NAB, there's all these other ones that happen around then. I've heard many people say it would be lovely if an event like this was in the fall instead.
Yeah, unfortunately the fall is also busy. It's got its own sort of interesting issues, and particularly around the pandemic, where shows have been moved around and they're off cycles. The feedback that we got, Dave, was again, you're right. It's crowded. Please don't put it over the top of another show, because we don't want to be forced into a decision. Do we go to this or this? Mm-hmm. The feedback we got was, we liked where it was before, which was, around that April timeframe, spring timeframe. So we've taken that into account, and we didn't have a huge set of people saying, hey, move it to November or get it out of the way. We the other option we had, by the way, was to think about, do we put it alongside our lighting show, which is in the fall, October, November. The more we got into it, the more it became clear to us that actually the lighting show is not as relevant as an audience. They tend to be lighting designers, people that are doing the rigging of lighting, etc. A better audience would be people that are buying stuff for their restaurants for us. It was we're never going to get a date that's going to satisfy everybody, unfortunately. Our feeling is we have the best chance to bring the right set of buyers to this event in the spring of next year.
And if you do it somewhat in tandem with an existing show like your bar and restaurant show, I imagine there are some efficiencies around ops people, and you don't have to bring double the staff. You maybe bring more than you would for one show, but not a double complement.
Yeah, the efficiencies sort of come with, obviously, with the show place itself. So if we do go to the Las Vegas Convention Center, obviously you get efficiencies if you do two in one, if you will. From our team perspective, maybe, Dave, in terms of we could send seven people rather than two sets of five, for instance, right, which is where I think you're going.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think what we're looking at for this event is, and also, by the way, for the bar and restaurant event, as you can imagine, the experiences there are pretty high end. You've got people launching new drinks. You've got people launching new bar and restaurant concepts. So I think that it would be the same at a reinvigorated DSE. That'd be your ops people. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think we're probably gonna. I'm not looking for cost efficiencies. Let me put it that way. That wouldn't be the reason for doing it.
Right. So when do you think you'll kind of have a launch, an announcement saying we're going to do this?
I would say, we're in the midst of recruiting an advisory board. We're getting some great traction there, by the way. And I can give you a few names if that helps. I would say we are a matter of weeks away from a full announcement, and maybe not many weeks.
Yeah, and I guess you really have to be, because planning cycles are long, right? And people are already budgeting for 2022.
We got to get moving. Got to get moving. It's not just the budgeting aspect of this. It's the sales team has to be implemented. You've got to have your content team in place. Your advisory board needs to meet, so we can start to get around the sort of flavor of the show. So no, we got to get our skates on, no doubt about it.
So who are some of your advisors that you can say?
Some that I can say, and by the way, there are a number of others that we think are going to be really exciting for the community to hear about. But we've got Rich Ventura. B2B business line manager at Sony. I think previously the chairman of the DSF. We've got Rick Robinson, chief strategy officer for Billups, leading voice in the out-of-home industry. By the way, our play on the advisory board, just for the record, is sort of there's four quadrants. There's the industry veterans, those people that really know this space, the new voices, and the new faces. We said we're going to reinvigorate. Well, let's get some new voices. So Jackie Walker, digital signage subject matter expert, publicist Sapient, is one of those. And we've got a number of others. Laura Davis Taylor, retail in reality. We've got some people here that I think are going to bring some really great new voices and faces alongside the veterans, also strategic partners that we're looking at, and of course, people like yourself in the media. We'd like to sort of have a balance of the of all of the above, and if we're going to deliver on our promise of a reinvigorated show, I think the definition of insanity is doing something the same way and then expecting a different outcome. So we've got to make some changes here and reinvigorate the advisory board, get new names and voices and faces involved, but don't throw away the baby with the bathwater either. You know, make sure right. You've still got the people that know what they're talking about.
The last question, I suppose, is will it be called Digital Signage Expo or be something else, or is that TBD?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we have, interestingly, I sometimes look for how things happen without doing more sort of fundamental research. But internally, we're using the DSE acronym quite a lot. I don't know, is it Digital Signage Expo? Is it Digital Signage Experience? Is it DSE? At the moment, we're sticking with the brand equity, warts and all that come with Digital Signage Expo. But it's interesting, internally, we do refer a lot to it as DSE, and sometimes that E does turn into experience as opposed to expo. So a little bit more about the industry, a little bit less about the product itself. So I would say, on a personal front, from what I've heard from customers, Digital Signage Expo is fine. People are calling it DSE anyway. And I don't know if I want to go through a massive rebranding exercise at the same time we're doing a relaunch of the event.
Yeah, it's more about the communications and the people you bring on board and everything else. They're going to say it's different.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's, have we delivered a product that people go, you know what, these guys are on the path to creating a must-go-to event. We did some business. It was great to meet the community again. And boy, I learned a lot. I mean, if we can check those boxes, I think we can then start to think about, okay, what next? And at the moment, we're just fully focused on producing something that people walk away from Vegas going, these guys nailed it. They listened. We've got an event that's a must go to for our industry, and they want to listen some more on how we can make improvements from stage one. So I think at the end of the day, that's what really matters. Yes, people have a lot of opinions. Yes, there's a lot of baggage. Yes, there's a lot of kind of words that we're using right now that I hope resonate with the industry. But at the end of the day, it's did we deliver?
All right, Paul, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Dave, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.